Good morning. Last week, we had the end of the first part of Matthew's Gospel, Sermon on the Mount. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, we finished the first of the five books of Matthew. Chapters 8, 9, and 10 are the second. 8 and 9 are a narrative. Chapter 10 is the Sermon on the Mission, Jesus' instruction to the 12 as he sends them out. The stories that are picked to fit into the prologue to that are obviously done for a reason. And to set up this story, this instruction on the mission, to help us understand what discipleship is about and how we, like the 12, are supposed to be sent forth, supposed to carry out that mission. Of these stories, we only get to read a few, time constraints. So they pick the call of Matthew. First of all, it's obviously related to discipleship, all right? Jesus is calling Matthew. And notice, come, follow me, and he got up and followed him. There is, first of all, that simple dimension. It's getting up and following Jesus, going with him, being where he is, hearing what he says, watching what he does. And then, it's a simple invitation of that. Go speak what you have heard. Go do what you have seen. And that's what we'll hear in chapter 10. Jesus instructing the disciples, instructing us. Go speak what you have heard. Go do what you have seen. That makes the following story all the more significant. Matthew throws a big dinner. Lots of people come. Lots of them are from Matthew's own social circle. Rich, powerful, influential, and corrupt as all get out. That's how you got to be a tax collector and how you made out that way. And the righteous are understandably upset. This is supposed to be a teacher? Look with whom he is consorting. And this is the standard rap on Jesus. A glutton and a drunkard. He eats and drinks with people outside the law. Sometimes that's the rich, the powerful, and the disreputable. Sometimes it's the poor, the downtrodden, and the outcast. You could be outside the law for a number of reasons. You could be a wealthy, powerful collaborator with the Romans as a tax collector. You could be one of the more attractive prostitutes in town. You could be a shepherd. I mean, sheep need to get cared for 7 days a week. That leaves you relatively little time to keep the Sabbath. So all kinds of people who would be outside the law. All kinds of people whom right-thinking people, upright people, decent people, reputable people would not be seen dead with, and certainly not at table with. And Jesus is constantly being called down for eating and drinking with these kind of folks. Now then, I pose you two questions. One, when is the last time that you were seriously criticized for eating and drinking with the disreputable of any sort? Whether the rich and the powerful, or the poor and the despised, or the just offbeat people outside the pale. When was the last time you were criticized for eating with someone who no decent person would be seen with? Second question is, what are you going to do about that? About that, I mean, I presume for most of us that has not recently happened. If it has not recently happened, why not? Does not the call to discipleship apply to us as well? It's not good enough to say what we have heard. We're also called to do what we have seen. One of the more radical parts of Jesus' ministry is with whom he shares table fellowship. Is it not incumbent on us to do what we have seen? That's, I think, this morning's gospel. Relatively unrelated to this morning's gospel, but nonetheless significant and falling at this time, is the renewal of marriage vows. Marriage may be the single most important sacrament in our society today, because a sacrament, quick definition, is a reality that gives us an insight into who God is. And the seven sacraments are all very important realities to give us very important insights into something very crucial to who God is. And one of the things that is stressed in our whole tradition, the Jewish tradition and the Christian tradition as well, is the faithfulness of God. That God simply doesn't go away. That God makes a covenant with us and is unrelentingly present to us. That's rarely experienced in our society today. And people need to experience something in their world before they can believe it about their God. People prepare to believe that God is more of this, or different than this, or higher than this, than we are. But they have to have some experience of the this in order to make that extrapolation. And it is the committed fidelity of marriage. I will be there for you and with you always, no matter what. It gives us an insight into that quality of who God is that I think is otherwise virtually inaccessible in our society. And I think that makes it perhaps the most important sacrament we've got today. It doesn't mean that everybody's called to it. I'm not saying if you're not married, you should feel somehow less a Christian. No. We all have different vocations. We all reflect the glory of God in different ways. But for those who are working at that fidelity, we need, I think, to recognize them for the special witness that they give us all.